Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Flyover Ministry. Welcome to December, Jordan.
Oh, excuse me. I'm getting a call.
This is highly unprofessional.
Very much so. Okay, I'll ignore it.
You'll ignore it? Very good.
I'll ignore it.
It's on mute? You're not going to get another call?
Nope, we're good.
All right. Very good. Well, now you have me all worried about the phone's on my side. I'm got to make sure everything's unplugged so I don't wind up getting a phone call during our recording here. But happy December, Jordan. On a scale from 1 to 10, how decorated are you guys for Christmas?
Probably like a 3.
A 3?
We have quite a bit of decorations inside. Like, we do the tree. We've got some, like, garland on the handrail. We're doing our Jesse tree devotional ornaments as we go along, our Advent wreath. But on the outside, we just have like one, actually it's two strings of lights going around the rail on our deck. But that's all that outside people see.
Is it state law that you have to cut down your own tree in Michigan? Am I understanding that correctly?
You mean like no artificial trees?
No artificial trees in Michigan?
False.
False. All right. I just figured a lot of our Christmas tree actually came from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I don't know if it came from like your backyard or whatever, but if it
they
did,
actually have
well
a
done.
Program, like they'll have Christmas tree farms like normal, and you can get them at like your drugstores and stuff that are local, but you also can do something where you like, I don't know if it's like $10 or something, but you can just go into the state forest and find a tree and grab it and take it.
Are you kidding?
No.
For $10?
I don't know if it's 10 or 20. I haven't looked at it because we've got our artificial tree, but it's not very expensive.
Oh my god. I would do nothing but that. Like I would try and maybe cultivate that tree. Like I would scout it out and trim it and everything. Like, that's awesome. Like a proper go out into the woods. I think that's the only way you got to go. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a real Christmas tree, that is what you got to do. Like, we go to a Christmas tree farm, and we usually wind up cutting down a tree, but this year there was nothing out in the field. It was pretty picked over by the time that we get there, because the Christmas tree farm opens a week before Thanksgiving, and we don't start decorating until like the Friday, Saturday after Thanksgiving. So pretty picked over as far as going out to the field and cutting something down. But man, going out to like a state forest and cut, that is about as Christmas as it gets, man.
There you go.
That's pretty awesome. But you guys still rock the artificial tree, right?
Our first one that we got since first year of marriage.
Yep. I won't judge you. That's very economical of you.
I'm a cheapskate, so it fits me quite well.
we just like the real tree. Well, fake tree or not, real tree or whatever, we're glad you're joining us for another month of Flyover Ministry as we come to the end of the year. We are actually, coincidentally or not, talking about accepting a new call to serve in a different congregation than the one that you are serving in. See what you did there?
I got us to open with a pun and you didn't even realize it.
Oh, I realized it.
Well, it's true. Yeah. So if you have been involved with youth ministry, especially on a professional part-time or full-time context, I almost said fart-time, so all the middle schoolers that are listening are giggling. But anyways, or if you're involved with pastoral ministry, this reality of a call is something that you likely will have to wrestle with at some point. And we want to talk through a little bit of just kind of some potential processes and how do you weigh the options. How do you pray through this? What does it look like if you accept and stuff like that? So it's going to be coming up throughout this month. And full disclosure, because some people like my mom might listen, this is not meaning that I'm praying through something right now. Or am I?
No, I'm not. Mr. Mystery Man.
Yeah.
I am also currently not in the process of entertaining any calls. There's not an open letter of consideration on my desk. Just wanting to clear the air on that for anybody that knows me. But that doesn't mean that I haven't received letters of inquiry of saying, hey, we have a job available for you, whether that be a senior pastor, associate pastor, youth worker, or whatever. I think I've actually received in the last year and a half more letters of inquiry on if I would consider that job opportunity than I did coming out of seminary. Like, I think coming out of seminary, it's interesting to just kind of note what that's like. I think just a little insider baseball here is that because you do not serve a congregation, a lot of churches that are looking for with pastoral vacancies will send you letters. So you will get a lot of inquiries really fast and frequently. And I think in a couple of months, I had maybe 9 or 10. And I know that some of my other seminary classmates wound up with even more than that. But yeah, in the last year and a half, I've received quite a number of different opportunities for me to consider and pray over for different responsibilities and roles. And it's, I will say it's a little taxing. It's a little tiring. Not to go to the Lord in prayer, but to be drawn back to that particular area of prayer to wonder if is the Lord affirming my position where I'm at, or is this him trying to kind of warm me up for something else? And that's what we're going to talk about, a little bit of using some discernment and prayer to help us work through, is the Lord leading you somewhere new? Is your time at your current congregation drawing to a close, or is he affirming where you are being called through the consideration of different options?
Yeah, and so I think that's going to be a helpful place to start, even just considering, like, what do we mean when we say call? Is this the same thing as just like there's a job that is asking me if I'll work there, or is there something more to it? And, you know, we can sometimes take the really deep spiritual route and say, you know, the Lord is definitely opening or closing doors. And there's definitely a part of that to this. So we want to recognize that when we are praying, at least, you know, whenever I get an inquiry, I will commit to pray for it for, you know, 2 weeks or something like that. And vast majority of the time it's been like, no, I don't feel a sense of release, or I don't feel anything desiring to move. And so then I just leave it to that and say, I don't think that this is the right time. But there's also opportunities sometimes where there's just an opening that you know of and you might be interested in pursuing that. So there is kind of a distinction between a call when a congregation is expressing interest in you and pursuing you, and issuing a formal saying like, this is what we're offering you to work for us, versus just something that's an opportunity that's open at this time.
Yeah, and I do want to clarify here. I think sometimes when we look at scripture, when God calls people to serve, thinking of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Gideon, and the like, I think there's a definitive moment where God just very clearly, definitively says, here is the work that I have to be done, and I want you to do it. Thinking of Moses even too, and really fill in the blank when you're talking about that kind of call. And I think if we sometimes, when we talk about receiving a call to a new church, if we're half expecting the call process to be like that, where God will just make it abundantly clear that this is an opportunity that we should take. And I wonder half the time if we just even project that kind of expectation, like, is this God opening this door right now for me to take? And I think there's maybe a little bit of danger in that, because if that's the case, you'll wind up saying yes to basically everything that comes across your door, and God might be actually leading you to say no in some ways. Are you familiar with the movie Yes Man, Jordan?
No, sir.
So Jim Carrey, not recommending it necessarily, but it's the basic premise of that movie is he keeps saying no to everything, but then he's challenged as he goes to like some seminar of some kind where he says, for the next however long, you have to say yes to everything. So he learns how to play guitar. He learns Korean. He learns like everything because he says yes to everything. And I think there's some use to being able to use some discernment and recognize that, you know, what is God's will for your life? Well, God's perfect will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that you would believe in the one he has sent, coming from John 6. At the same time, you also recognize that and distinguish that from God's permissive will, where as we make decisions and as we live our lives, God is able to work through whatever circumstance we might be in. So I want to be really clear as we try to discern where God might be leading us, is that we are trying to discern his permissive will.
Yeah.
A bit and in all of this.
To be culturally relevant, instead of if we want to pass on something, a reference that people we could endorse, I would say Little Rascals with uh-huh. There's a character who just says uh-huh. So similar. But anyways, yeah, it's a process that requires discernment. And again, it's balanced, right? Like you might feel a desire to go someplace, but that doesn't always mean that you're able to go someplace. So we need to keep that in check. Just because you want to go there doesn't mean it's going to be right. At the same time, you have to balance the fact that God sometimes puts before you, you know, multiple good options. And it's not like we need to keep ourselves in check here too, to recognize like, I'm not the greatest thing since sliced bread and Swiss cheese. You know, God's kingdom does not depend on my location. And
thank goodness.
Right. So there's a humility aspect to that. I know that when I've processed through these calls before, one of the questions I ask myself is just like, am I willing to go? Because I think that's something we need to say. Am I simply willing? Because if we're not willing, that might indicate there's some potential problem. But then also just having a heart of saying, Lord, I will go wherever you will place me. That's going to be most impactful for your kingdom. And then I also kind of have this attitude that God knows how thick-headed I am. And so he knows what he needs to do to make me relocate if that's something that he's desiring. So.
Mm. Well, people who know me know that I have a very thick head. So, literally, not metaphorically. My head is enormous, and I recognize that. But
big, bald, and beautiful.
Oh, not quite bald, but getting there. Slow and steady. I think both of us are in the race to that threshold.
Good times. So, what are some different ways that you have received inquiries from a congregation? Like how many different ways could you perceive this actually happening?
How many ways have I received this potential inquiry?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll wind up with an email. You could get a phone call. You could wind up with a letter in the mail. You could also be approached person to person. And I have actually received all of those. Interesting to be in person and to talk through that opportunity with the person to be able to say, you know what, actually, I do think I want to pray about this. Mm-hmm. I've also, and this is not to throw any church necessarily under the bus, there have also been kind of, I'll call it bulk mailing. And you can kind of tell by the way that the letter is written that this was very clearly set to a mass audience. And I would caution that if you're in a church and you're considering that, maybe don't. Like that's kind of a red flag for me that maybe this process, I know you're trying to cast a broad net just to see like, well, let's narrow down this list of potential candidates. And in our fellowship, we have a roster of all of our pastors and lay workers and the like. There's also a fellowship roster of people who haven't been through our seminary but are still licensed to be a pastor in the AFLC. So there's these huge lists with addresses and phone numbers and things like that. So to narrow down this list of 200 plus people down to maybe a pool of, let's just say, 20, that'd be helpful on the church side of it, but at the same time, kind of indicating that maybe you need to go about this a different way. So in a way that kind of more honors the prayerful approach of considering exactly who it is that you're asking and what you're asking them to do. Part of this process, I think, too, that makes it easy to say yes or no is to just know yourself better, to know how God has gifted you right now. What has God laid on your heart? What are things that you are passionate about to see happen in God's kingdom? And that will really help you say yes or no more readily to potential opportunities. Like if you're really feeling led to a worship ministry, like if you want to be helping to cultivate that atmosphere of worship during a Sunday service, and the letter of call or opportunity for you to serve is specifically children's ministry. And, you know, maybe if you're interested in worship, we could open that up and talk about it. But we're really looking for a children's pastor right now. Well, it's easy to be able to say, that's not exactly how I'm feeling led. That's not, and it's, there's no shame in being able to say, you know, I feel like God has led me in a different direction. Still praying for you guys as you continue on your search, but I'm going to respectfully decline that. So there's, I don't know, Jordan, have you received, which would you say out of the ones that I've mentioned, which have you received the most of?
As far as how the invitations come?
How the invitations come.
I'd probably say it's mostly been email. I'll get an email inquiry if I'd be willing to meet with some people and talk. And so that usually leads to like a conversation on Zoom or something. So that's changed a lot with internet technology. And then, you know, it, from that conversation, kind of will pray about it, consider, I'll bring it up with my wife and things like that. And that kind of leads to a good another stream of thought is that what do we do when we get a letter of inquiry? And I kind of have the same process, and you might as well, but it's, I'm going to commit to pray to it. I'm going to discuss it with my wife because this is definitely something that if we did go down that path, it impacts our family. And full disclosure, there are a couple of places that she's just like right off the bat, she'll say, I really am not interested in going that direction, right? And maybe it's like something like a place that's in a bigger city.
Sorry, Florida.
Or, yeah, Florida. I don't think she would really enjoy the heat there either. So I want to recognize that. There's true that there is a calling on my life and that I am the head of the household and I want to submit to the Lord. And so it's not just my wife's opinion, but at the same time, I am called to love and care for my wife and to lead my family. And that's a huge discussion. So if I... There's a couple times I'll pray about it, and I kind of already know the answer is going to be no. But I want to genuinely say, Lord, here's a chance. You can change my heart if this is something. If there is some mild interest, I'll start looking things over, just like, what is this congregation? What do they stand on? What kind of stuff do they put about themselves out there? Are there people I know from the congregation that could shed a little bit of light on it, or people who are familiar from the congregation? I'll even do something like, hop on Zillow really quick and say, like, what is the housing market like? You know, like, is
good.
Is there a place? Is it reasonable for me to be able to have a place for my family? You know, that's a big component. Like, what kind of stuff is out there?
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I do that as well. Like, that's, and I do feel bad. Like, this seems a little preemptive, Dan. Well, no, I'm just curious, you know, but good to hear that I'm not alone in that.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, well, I'd rather be wrong together. So,
okay. Yeah. So I think it does fit a practical purpose. And I mean, yes, we trust that the Lord will provide if that's what he's calling. But if you're a family with 6 kids like we have, and like all you see are these like studio apartments that are available, that's kind of like a problem, you know, that's not going to work well. Right. Or if you have like a 2-bedroom house that's selling for $800,000, probably going to be out of my range forever. So, right. It's just a helpful thing.
At least without
too.
Some kind of, affirmation from the church that says that we will pay you enough to be able to cover that kind of a housing situation.
Yeah.
There's, I think, I feel a little intimidated when I am looking at considerations like that to say that, you know, it's important for my family to be close to extended family, like to my wife's parents and to my parents and to our siblings. And it's important that our kids grow up close to our grandparents and their cousins. And like I said, that's important to us. And I might be projecting on this, but I don't think so. I think sometimes the attitude that I wind up getting is that, well, if the Lord is calling, the distance shouldn't matter. Like that's a material hurdle that you'll just need to overcome. Like, unless the Lord has placed it on my heart that this is important. Like, and there's the weird balance that I have to try and discern and decipher. And you very well said, like, you can't make that kind of decision without talking to your spouse. But there are definitely places that, you know what, we've prayed about this. This is still a strong conviction of ours. And I'm going to respectfully decline. And you don't necessarily have to tell the church specifically why you're saying no, but you should just be outright and say, no, you know what, I still feel like the Lord is calling us to serve where we are at. I just want to be transparent in that component as we discuss this as well, that it is complicated. There are some nuances here, and there are some general attitudes that we want to try and talk through and be aware of.
Yeah.
But,
and you know, we mentioned the family thing, and that's something definitely to be aware of, but it's also something on the other side too. Like if you're a single person going into ministry and you have a congregation that's reaching out to you, it's helpful to know things like, what is a community like? Is this a retirement community? Because if you're going out there as a single person to a retirement community, chances of finding somebody are kind of slim. So if that's something that's really important to you, that's something to be aware of. You know, you can't go in and then afterwards be like, well, I mean, you can go in and say this has been a mistake. But I mean, these do have life implications. So you want to make sure that you're really thinking this out as you go.
Mm-hmm. So Jordan, let me ask you this. Let's say that you might be feeling like you're interested in a change or feeling like you are being released from your role. How do you initiate that kind of process? How do you, if a church hasn't necessarily reached out to you, but you are interested in maybe a change, how do you go about pursuing a different opportunity?
So like creating an opportunity for yourself, in other words?
Sure. We can put it that way. I think that's
for
lack of creativity on my part. I think that's a fair way to put it.
I have not ever done that, so I can't really speak from experience. I'm pretty a content person to be where I'm at. I don't like change all that much, which is why I'm Lutheran. But
Pudum-ting.
I think if there was, that's hard to say. I mean, I know some people who've been in circumstances where it's like you try to be subtle so you're not like weaseling your way in, but you know, like they're looking for someone and you're like, you know, I'd maybe be open to considering. And you say that to some friend who's in the congregation or something and hope that the word gets passed up. You know, there's things like that. But I'm sure there's some people too who have been a little bit more aggressive. If like, you know, there could be multiple reasons. If you're in a congregation where it just seems like things are really unhealthy and you're trying to get an exit, if there's been a lot of hurt or something like that, you might look for a place and say, hey, I know that you are currently looking. And we're feeling like we might be ready to move on. Would you value a conversation, just what this might look like? You know, so you can just kind of say that you're willing to pray about something further. And then you kind of put the ball in the court too, because at the same time, you do want the congregation to be led by the Spirit and be praying about what's there too. And it's not necessarily like who's the easiest person that we can get. You want a right fit that's going to fit the culture. It's going to fit the community. For example, if you've got a congregation that's very relational and not really time-driven, having a pastor who's going to be like, we're going to start at 9 o'clock sharp and everything is on the time, you know, that could cause some conflict. If the congregation's used to starting at like, well, we say service starts at 9, but really we get started at 9:30. Because that's just how they are, right? That could be conflict. It could go the other way too. If you have a congregation that's like, nope, we start at 9, we finish at 10, we have snack for 15 minutes, and then at quarter after, we are doing Sunday school for precisely 1 hour. The bell rings, everyone's done, and you've got a pastor who's wandering over 10 minutes late. That's also an issue. So you need to be aware of these things too. And there's a lot to think through. And all this stuff is like really good front end, like initial consideration. How do we process this? Get to know what the opportunity is. Anything that you'd want to add on that first stage?
Well, I think there's definitely a time to consider. I think just from my perspective and experience, just wanted to highlight the different stages just so you can see the scope of what I have observed. And Jordan, you can affirm or modify this based on yours, but the first stage being that initial inquiry, the church is reaching out to you, telling you a little bit about themselves. A lot of times I find out a lot about how they've worshiped and a lot of history about the church building and not necessarily so much about the ministry. Like, oh, hey, we're this congregation in this community. We've worshiped here and then our building burnt down or we outgrew it and then we moved over here and this is what our community is like. We'd like to start talking to you. So that's the initial inquiry. The next stage of that, after you pray about it, you say, you know what? Yeah, let's actually enter into a more meaningful conversation. At that point, you'll have a personal conversation and an interview with the call committee or whoever's heading up that. At that point, they might, if that goes well, you might have follow-up questions that you can email or phone call at that point to ask, to have clarified. They might have you come for an on-site interaction. Like if you're going for a youth worker job, they might have you come on a Wednesday night or a Monday evening, looking at you, Jordan, or whenever they have their youth group time to just say like, hey, we want you to come lead a student Bible study since this is part of the job. Want to see your interaction for you to get to know the area a little bit as well. And then at that point, if that goes well, they will give you an official offer. And at that point, you'll have a lot more of the administrative details, like maybe the salary breakdown. Although I have had like the salary breakdown coming at that first initial interview. Mm. Other details about like time off, expectations, other finer details of the greater expectations. Is that ring true for you, Jordan? Does that seem like it's...
Yeah, that's pretty similar. And as we look at the weeks ahead, we'll get to things just like next we're going to start talking to, like, how do you reach out and process this together with other people? Who are some good people to talk to? And then the following week, really getting to focusing on the last part of the process of discerning to either go or stay. How do you end up making that final decision? So we'll kind of string this along a little bit so you can see where we're going to. You know, this is a reality that I think is healthy to talk through and think through even beforehand, even just setting up a process if you haven't had that happen before. And it's one of the wonky things of ministry that, you know, you kind of are in a place until the Lord says otherwise. And so, you know, you're kind of like, well, I'm here till I'm not, you know, I don't know what that's like. So, that's a potential reality. But we hope this is going to be helpful for you, something to think through. And if you've had a journey that's different, let us know too. That'd be great to hear so we can learn together. But with that, we're going to close it up for today and pray that you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.